As announced, the scripture reading this morning will come from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 26 through 31. Again, that's 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 26 through 31. For consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in this world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. And because of him, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption, so that, as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord.
Don, I've got one thing to say. I'm glad you cleared that up. I was going to raise my hand in a point of order. One of my fondest memories of being with Don and Janice, we were going somewhere, and I'm in the back seat. And they're going back and forth about the directions. Don is challenged by following directions. and so I'm in the back seat, and I'm being a back seat driver. And Don turned around, and he said, "Brother, you need to pick a side." And I told him, "I have. I'm on her side." She was feeding me that week. Our special calling. C.S. Lewis wrote these words: "Men are mirrors or carriers to Christ to other men, sometimes unconscious carriers. This good infection can be carried by those who have not got it themselves. People who were not Christians themselves helped me to Christianity. But usually it is those who know him who bring him to others. That is why the church, the whole body of Christians, showing him to one another and to the world is so important. We might say that when two Christians are following Christ together, there is not twice as much Christianity as when they are together, but 16 times as much." I like that quote because it's just a reminder of how powerful it is to live the life of Christ. How transforming it is to be who God has called us to be. That when people see you, they see him. That when people hear you, they hear him. And it has a dramatic impact on us and on them because of who he is. I use an apple at home. So the translation between Mac and Microsoft doesn't always translate. So I apologize ahead of time for this. But these are the topics that we're going to be talking about this week. That our calling is a special calling. That we are called to be like Jesus. We're called to awake. We're called to holiness. We are called to life. We're called to fellowship. We are called to love. We are called to hope. And we are called to peace. And so we find all of these things in the life of Jesus and in the lives of his people. I appreciate the brother reading the scripture this morning. And you're going to see this each night of the week. Because, again, this is foundational. This is transformational. This will change us. This has changed us. And so in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 26 through 31. For consider your calling, brethren, that there were not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to shame the things which are strong. And the base things of the world and the despised God has chosen, the things that are not, so that he may nullify the things that are, so that no man may boast before God. But by his doing, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us the wisdom of God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, so that just as it is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. And so again, it's just this clarion reminder of who we are called to be. That word, kaleo, or call, it means a special appeal. It's a invitation or a summons. Have you ever got a summons in the mail from the court? Did you throw it in the trash? You better not have. I mean, so this is something important. This is something that I can't look away from. And so it is with God's call. So it is used particularly of a divine call to partake of the blessings of redemption and fellowship. It suggests either a vocation or a relationship or a destination. So the purpose of God's call is to claim us as his own. You have a cell phone? You ever gotten a call that said, Don Wright? And he said, no, I'm not getting that. Or a call from someone, you say, not right now. I'll call you back later. We've all done that, haven't we? We've all received those calls where we say, no. Nah. If we do that with God's call, we are going to lose our soul. Period. Full stop. Bottom line. We cannot afford to not receive the call of God. And so that's what we're talking about this week. And so God is calling. Are we listening? God is calling us. Are we accepting his call? And so we need to consider our calling. And so to consider literally means to fix our mind with careful examination, thinking with great care, to ponder, to meditate. Why? Because it is a matter of life or death, spiritual life or death. It is a serious, serious matter. And so consider, think about this call of God. Think about very deeply, meditate, let it roll around in our mind that a God is calling me to be who he wants me to be. And as we said this morning, that is to be his, to belong to him. Jesus taught many times in parables, didn't he? And so what is a parable? You're good Bible students, you know what a parable is. It's a side-by-side. Oftentimes, Jesus taught in parables so that people would get it, that they would understand it. And sometimes he taught in parables because they didn't get it, and he knew they wouldn't get it. But here in these three parables, Jesus is teaching us something about our calling. He's teaching us something about an offer for us. Coupon shoppers here. Maybe it's an old people thing. But my wife and I are coupon hunters. And so I was at the church building a couple days ago when she texted me a picture of these coupons she got. And they were coupons for Dairy Queen. You buy one, get one free. Blizzard. I mean, that's a good coupon. And so she said, what do you think? I said, let's go. Because it's an offer. Jesus gave offers, invitations, calling to share in something special. So let's look at these very briefly this morning. In Matthew chapter 22, we have this parable of the wedding feast. So in Matthew 22, beginning in verses 3 and 4, and he sent out his slaves to call those who had been invited to the wedding feast, and they were unwilling to come. And again, he sent out other slaves, saying, tell those who have been invited, behold, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen, my fatted livestock, and all are butchered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding feast. And notice in verses 8 and 9. And then he said to his slaves, the wedding is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy. Go therefore into the main highways, and as many as you find there, invite them to come to the wedding feast. Notice in verse 14. For many are called, but few are chosen. It's almost as though this king, he is begging people, come, come, share in this goodness, share in this blessing. Everything is ready. Come to the feast. Right? We sing that song. Remember that song? And so here is God saying to us, you don't have to do anything but what? One thing. Come. Come. Come enjoy this special gift I have for you. Many are called, but few are chosen. If you're from Minnesota, it's many are called and few are frozen. But it's almost, again, it's almost as though he's begging. Come share in this wonderful event. Look at Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14. Verse 7. Beginning. And he began saying or speaking a parable to the invited guests when he noticed how they had been picking out the places of honor at the table, saying to them, when you're invited by someone to a wedding feast, do not take the place of honor, for someone more distinguished than you may have been invited by him. And he who invited you both will come and say to you, give your place to this man, and then disgrace, you proceed to occupy the last place. But when you are invited, go recline at the last place, so that when the one who has invited you has come, he may say to you, friend, move up higher. Then you will have honor in the sight of all who are at the table with you. Then notice in verse 12. And he also went on to say to the one who had invited him, when you give a lunch or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your neighbors or your relatives or rich neighbors. Otherwise, they may also invite you in return, and that will be your repayment. But when you give a reception, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed, since they do not have the means to repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. And then verse 15. Then one of those who were reclined at the table said to the reclined at the table with him, heard this, And he said to him, blessed is everyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God. And then let's notice the last one. In verse 16, and he said to him, a man was giving a big dinner, invited many. And at the dinner hour, sent his slave to say to those who had been invited, come, for everything is now ready. But they all likewise began to make excuses. The first said to him, I bought a piece of land, need to go out and look at it, but please consider me excused. And he said to the next one, or another one, I bought five yoke of oxen, I'm going out to try them, please consider me excused. And he said to another one, I have married a wife, and for that reason I cannot come. And the slave came back and reported all this to his master. Notice in verse 24, I tell you, none of these men who were invited will taste of my dinner. Why? Why do the gospel writers record that? I think there's only one reason. Because the Lord is giving us an invitation. He's calling us to share in something wonderful that this world can't give. Now, if you were to receive an invitation to maybe go to the White House or maybe to go to the governor's house or maybe to go to some place that you really, you heard about, you dreamt of, but what about heaven? Who in their right mind would ignore that kind of invitation? May I suggest to you, we do all the time. No, I'm good. I'll think about that. Maybe when I do these other things, these other more important things that I have to do, I'll get around to that. And then we find out it's too late. So invited or called to be and to share in his eternal blessings. That's really what these parables are about. And so our calling is a special calling. Our calling is a one-of-a-kind calling. It's to share in the life that only Jesus can give. But there is a problem. And that's refusing the call. As a general rule, the people of God have had the same problem, Old Testament, New Testament. It's the same issue. And the issue is not just not listening to God, but refusing to hear God. Refusing to hear him. Both are devastating, but there is more. There's one that's more pernicious than the other. And you know what that is? It's almost as though saying to God, shut up. Can you imagine that? Telling God to shut up? I don't want to hear it. I'm closing my up. Just who in their right mind would tell God that? May I suggest we do that when we refuse his call? When he tells us what to do, when he tells us what we need to know, but we have a different mindset, we have a different design, we have different goals, we have different aspirations, we accept the world's invitation rather than God's. That's been the problem of the people of God. From time immemorial, that's our issue. It's no different today. We might say that it's the problem of spiritual slumber. It's the problem of being lethargic. It's the problem of apathy, of indifference, negligence. It's always been a problem with God's people. It's always been a challenge for God's people. Just going through the motions. May I say, playing church? We come and we sing. We can sing loud and long. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, and then go out and live like a child of the devil. All we have done is just say the words. There's been no change in us. That's the problem of a spiritual stupor. One of the easiest things to do is to do nothing. To stay the same. Just to go through the motions. To come here, to partake of the Lord's Supper, to sing, and then go out and do what we've always been doing. In the Old Testament, in the book of Isaiah, the Lord is warning his people through the prophet Isaiah. He says in verse 8 of Isaiah 29, "It will be as when a hungry man dreams, and behold, he is eating. But when he awakens, his hunger is not satisfied. Or as when a thirsty man dreams, and behold, he's drinking. But when he awakens, behold, he is faint, and his thirst is not quenched. Thus the multitude of all the nations will wage war against Mount Zion. Be delayed and wait. Blind yourself and be blind. They become drunk, but not with wine. They stagger, but not with strong drink. For the Lord has poured over them a spirit of deep sleep, and has shut up your eyes, and the prophets he has covered your heads, and he has covered the heads of the seers." What does that mean? I think it means if you want to sleep, if I want to sleep, God will let us sleep. That he's not going to make us do anything that we don't want to do. Have you ever heard somebody say, "Well, why doesn't God just make us do that?" I heard someone tell me that one time. Why doesn't God just make us do that? And my response was, if he did, you say, "Well, why is God making me do this?" We would always find something wrong. But God is saying to his people, if you want to sleep, I'll give you a spirit of stupor. If you want to be indifferent, I'll give you a spirit of apathy. If you want to just go through the motions, I'll let you go through the motions. He wants our honest praise. That's what he's calling us to give him our hearts, to give him our lives, to give him all that we are because of who he is. Romans chapter 11, verses 1 through 10. The Apostle Paul says this, "I say then, God has not rejected his people, has he? May it never be. For I too am an Israelite, a descendant of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. Has God rejected his people from whom he foreknew? Or do you not know what the scriptures say in the passage about Elijah, how he pleaded with God against Israel? Lord, they have killed your prophets. They have torn down your altars, and I alone am left. And they are seeking my life. But what is the divine response to him? I have kept for myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to Baal. In the same way, then there will also come to be at the remnant, be at the present time a remnant, according to God's gracious choice. But as it is by grace, it is no longer on the basis of works. Otherwise, grace is no longer grace. What then? What Israel is seeking, it has not obtained. But those who are chosen obtain it, and the rest were hardened. Just as it is written, God gave them a spirit of stupor, eyes to see and not eyes to see not, and ears to hear not. Down to this very day, and David says, let their table become a snare and a trap, and a stumbling block, and a retribution to them. Let their eyes be darkened to see not, and bend their backs forever. God says it once, pay attention. He says it twice, three times, we have a problem with it. We have a difficulty with it. And so God is saying to us, he's saying they're asleep because they've chosen sleep. I've given them just what they want. They want to be indifferent? Let them be indifferent. Brethren, we are called to awake. Where we're called to be different. We're called to be livened. We're called to be aroused because of who he is and because of what he wants for us. What does God want for us? He wants us to be with him. Question, what do we want for us? Let it be that we want to be with him. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 and 4, and even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, in whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving so that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. You know, that's one of those passages that's picturesque, isn't it? It paints this picture of someone covering our eyes, someone shielding us from what we need to see. Who is that? It's our adversary. If our gospel is veiled, it is veiled by those who are perishing. It's because we don't want to see. And we allow the devil to blind us. We allow him to shield us from what the truth is. In Ephesians 4, 17 through 19, here's the reason, another reason for spiritual sleep. So for this I say, and affirm together with the Lord, that you walk no longer as the Gentiles also walk in the futility of their mind, being darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their heart. And they, having become callous, have given themselves over to sensuality for the practice of every kind of impurity with greediness. What is he building on there? What is he telling us? I think what he's saying to us is that if we live in a way that is a worldly way, then we are imitating the ways of this world. We're blinded by the things of this world. Again, we sing a song, right? This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Do we mean that when we sing that? That we're strangers and pilgrims upon the face of the earth? Or have we put down permanent dwelling here? Have we made this place our home? Well, if we have, Paul says that we're darkened in our understanding. We're excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of a heart. We need to be on guard against that. So, there's a problem, but there's a solution. You know, if all we were told was what our issues are, but we were never given direction out of that problem, how fair would that be? God gives us a solution. Janice was trying to give Don a solution. Go this way. Oh, by the way, he finally went that way. God is telling us, go this way. You know, it's as though the Lord is standing at the crossroads and there's this way that leads to heaven. There's this way that leads to destruction. Jesus is standing there. He's saying, go this way. Go this way. This is the way that leads to the place I've created you to be. It's a no-brainer. Really, it shouldn't even be a second thought in our minds that I want for me what God wants for me. He wants me to be with him. I want to be with him. And so the call is to wake up, to awaken to righteousness. So the call to awaken from spiritual slumber and to receive the blessings that come from trusting and obeying God, his will and his way, must be heard and heeded. Those are two different thoughts, because we can hear something but not heed it. We need to hear it, and we need to obey it, surrender to it, because his way is always right. His will is always correct. In Isaiah chapter 51, turn your Bibles to Isaiah 51. And let me ask you to listen for a phrase that I want to arrest us, to grab us. And I'll put a little emphasis on it. Awake, awake, clothe yourself in strength, O Zion. Clothe yourself in your beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city. For the uncircumcised and the unclean will no longer come into you. Shake yourself from the dust. Arise, rise up, O captive Jerusalem. Loosen yourself from the chains around your neck, O captive daughter of Zion. Thus says the Lord, you were sold for nothing, and you will be redeemed without money. For thus says the Lord God, my people went down at first into Egypt to reside there, and then the Assyrians oppressed them without cause. Now therefore do what I have here, declares the Lord, seeing that my people have been taken away without cause. Again, the Lord declares, those who rule over them howl, and my name is continually blasphemed all day long. Therefore, my people shall know my name. In that day, I am the one who is speaking. Here I am. How lovely on the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news and announces peace and brings good news of happiness, who announces salvation and says to Zion, your God reigns. Listen, you watchmen, lift up your voices. They shout together joyfully, for they have seen with their own eyes when the Lord restores Zion. Break forth, shout joyfully together. Your waste places of Jerusalem, for the Lord has comforted his people. He has redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord has bared his holy arm in the sight of all the nations, that all the ends of the earth may see the salvation of our God. What was the command there? Wake up! Listen! Arouse yourself, he's saying. Look at chapter 52. Or chapter 51, beg your pardon, verses 1-9. Listen to me, you who pursue righteousness, who seek the Lord. Look to the rock from which you were hewn and the quarry from which you were dug. Look to Abraham, your father, and Sarah, who gave birth in your pain. When he was but one, I called him, then I blessed him and multiplied him. Indeed, the Lord comforted Zion. He will comfort all her waste places and her wilderness will be like Eden, and her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness will be found in her, giving thanks and the sound of melody. Pay attention to me, O my people, and give ear to me, O my nation, for a law will go forth from me, and I will set my justice for a light to the peoples. My righteousness is near, my salvation has gone forth, my arms will judge the peoples. The coastlands will wait for me, and for my arm they will wait expectantly. Lift up your eyes to the sky, look to the earth beneath, and the sky will vanish like smoke, and the earth will wear away like a garment, and its inhabitants will die in like manner, but my salvation will be forever and will not wane. Listen to me, you who know righteousness of people in whose heart is my law. Do not fear the reproach of man, nor be dismayed at their revilings. For the moth will eat them like a garment, and a grub will eat them like wool. But my righteousness will be forever, and my salvation to all generations. Wake up! Wake up! Put on strength, O arm of the Lord. Wake up! Awake in the days of old, the generations of long ago. Was it not you who cut Rahab in pieces, or who pierced the dragon? Was it not you who dried up the sea, the waters of the great deep, who made the depths of the sea a pathway for the redeemed to cross over, so that the ransom of the Lord will return and come with shout, and come with joyful shout to Zion, and everlasting joy will be on your heads, and they will obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and sighing will flee away. Wake up, the Lord says to his people. Wake up that he might bless us. In Ephesians, the Apostle Paul is enjoining us to the same reality, and that is that we need to awaken from a spiritual slumber and accept the call of the Lord. And so notice in Ephesians chapter 5, in verse 7, therefore, do not be partakers with them, for you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth, trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. Do not participate in the deceitful or unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead expose them, for it is a disgrace even to speak of the things which are done by them in secret. But all things become visible when they are exposed by the light, for everything that becomes visible is light. For this reason, it says, awake, sleeper, arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, for the days are evil. Romans 13. Verses 11 through 13. Do this, knowing the time, that it is already the hour for you to awaken from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us than when we first believed. The night is almost gone. The day is near. Therefore, let us lay aside the deeds of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us behave properly as in the day, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual promiscuity and sensuality, not in strife and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus and make no provision for the flesh in regard to its lust. What do you hear? What do we hear when we hear those commandments. Those aren't suggestions. You know, that's not just something that we can do if we choose to do. No, we have free will. But the Lord is saying, you have a problem. We have a problem. And that is just going through the motions. We might even say playing church. And so our problem is that we can fail to heed God's call if we are allowing ourselves to sleep. Jesus says, stay awake. I have a hard time sleeping. I think maybe it's that getting older thing. So I'm up at 3 o'clock. So what am I going to do while I'm awake? Think about how difficult it is to sleep or get busy doing something. What are we going to do while we're here? Jesus says this in Matthew 24. He said, therefore, be awake, for you do not know what day the Lord is coming. But know this, if the master of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would have not left his house and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you did not expect. But concerning the day or the hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on guard, keep awake, for you do not know when the time will come. It is like a man going on a journey when he leaves his home and puts his servants in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to stay awake. Therefore, stay awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening or at midnight, and when the rooster crows, or in the morning, lest he come suddenly and find you asleep. And what I say to you, I say to all. Stay awake. That's our call. That's our call. It's a simple one. It is to be ready for when the Lord comes. How many of us can say honestly, Maranatha, Lord, come quickly? Dear heart, if we can't say that with a genuine heart, then something's wrong. There's something that we need to make right. If we can't say, Jesus, come and come right now, because I want to go home. Then we're asleep. So what do? I need to make it right. I need to make some changes. If I've refused to answer the Lord's call, then I need to repent. That's what the Bible talks about, repentance. Changing our mind that leads to a change of how we live. Because the Lord isn't going to change his call. One day, he's going to come again. And it's going to be his time to call and ours to answer. What will that day be? Will we be like those who call for the rocks, the hills to cover us, hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne, from the wrath of the Lamb and from the glory of his power? Or will it be, Lord, I'm ready? Dear friend, we're going to sing a song of invitation, a song of encouragement. And if you're here today, you're not a Christian, please, please, accept the Lord's call. Jesus said, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. A rest that we won't find in this world. It's out of this world. A rest that will take whatever burden, whatever load, whatever fear, whatever care we're carrying. And he said that he will give us his burden, his load. He says, because my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Wow. What an exchange. Lord, you'll do that for me. That's his promise. So come today and confess with your mouth what's in your heart, that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You believe that he died on a hill called Calvary to be the propitiation for our sins, to be the atonement of our sins. To surrender his life so that we, by his death, could live. Lord, you do that for me. That's exactly what he did. So how does that benefit us? Well, you and I, when we're baptized into Christ, we're baptized into his death. So his call is to come, to put on the Lord Jesus Christ, to be immersed in his blood. You know, that's what baptism is. It's not about the water. It's about the blood. To be covered by his blood. That when the Lord sees you, when he sees me, he sees the Son. That's who the Father sees. He sees the covering, the atonement, the redemption. He sees the coupon. Lord, you want me to have that? Yes. By grace, through faith. Become a Christian today. I don't know enough. You never will. But all you need to know is that someone died for you so that you might begin to live for him. If you're struggling with something, you know, look around this room. Go ahead, look around. No, really, look around. You see people that love God and people that love you. People that will squeeze you, will hug you, will kiss you, will love you and say, you are not alone. You're surrounded by the blessings of God. And so sometimes I just need to say, I need help. I'm struggling with something. I need help. Will you pray with me? Will you pray for me? Will you come sit with me? Will you come be with me? And everybody in this room would say yes. But you got to take that step. You have to say, I need help. Because one of the ways that God blesses us is to reach out. So come today. Don't wait. Accept his call for forgiveness. We're going to sing a song, Bring Christ Your Broken Life. Please come. Together we stand and sing.